Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a regular business meeting for February 6, 2018. The time right now is 7:06 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Hanford, Rasmussen, and Kim.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we continue with our meeting this evening, we did receive word from Councilmember Gamble that he would not be here this evening. That we received that word a couple weeks ago. I also received word earlier today that Councilmember Cutaback would not be able to make it for some things, family commitments, I believe is what she said. And we will go ahead and announce for the record when Councilmember Davis comes in. He did not indicate that he would be absent this evening. Is that everybody's recollection? Okay, so we'll go ahead and announce for the record when he enters chambers. With council's, unless there's objection from council, I'd like to make an addition to the agenda, unless it's already, it's already on the agenda. Never mind. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to public hearing. We're going to move on to public hearing number one. This is AB 18026, resolution number 001-2018, declaring certain property as surplus and authorizing its disposition. And we have a briefing from Mr. Roberts. Mr. Roberts. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everyone. RCW 3594040 requires a public hearing prior to the disposition of any property owned by a public utility. And the purpose of tonight's hearing is to seek to dispose of item number 8 on the list. Mr. Mayor, that concludes my presentation. Open for questions.
Thank you. Council, do you have any questions for Mr. Roberts?
Give me one second. I do not.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, Councilmember Scarborough.
When it says estimated value, is that like the bottom line? Is that the start point, or is that a reserve that we're going to have to meet and hopefully get better?
That's the bottom line, starting point. Yeah. I give you the low estimate. Hopefully, we come in higher. In this specific application, we intend to sell this piece of equipment to the City of Lake Stevens. I have tentatively agreed on a price for a piece of equipment based on their recent inspection.
And do they want all this, or you just have a list of?
They just want number 8. Sorry, that's what you're referencing. Yeah.
Hang on.
Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
No, thank you.
All right. If there are no further questions, I will go ahead and open up the public hearing. Ms. Atkinson, do we have anybody who signed up for the public hearing? Okay, is there anybody that would like to come forward and present testimony on this item on public hearing? Anybody at all? Okay, seeing none, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second. Okay, I have a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing from Councilmember Rasmussen with a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Rasmussen, did I just forget to hit your light? Okay. All right, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Public hearing question? Councilmember Rasmussen.
No questions, I'll move to close the public hearing.
Second. Thank you. We have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Rasmussen with a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Move to approve resolution number 001-2018 declaring certain property as surplus and authorizing its disposition. Public Works, Parks and Recreation, Police, Finance, and Information Technology.
Second. Thank you. We have a motion for the requested action that is listed in C as typed from Councilmember Rasmussen with a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Next item that we have on our agenda is public hearing number 2. This is AB 18027, ordinance number 001-2018, amending MMC 1308-240 sanitary sewer service area for first reading. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. In 2017, the Council approved the amendment to the city's comprehensive plan to limit the extension of sewer outside city limits and set certain requirements on the extensions when they're requested by an applicant in the city's urban growth area. And so to follow up on that, staff developed code that would essentially require a developer, they have several different options, one of them being a sewer extension agreement, and they would sign that with the city, and essentially what that would allow is the city to proceed forward with annexation of those parcels with essentially a no objection from those landowners. And what's important about this is typically, in some of the cases we have right now, is you have one large parcel of land out there that applicant may be proposing 110 units on. And so when you come in with this sewer extension agreement, you're dealing just with that one landowner, essentially. And that agreement would carry through when it's further subdivided into those 110 lots. So you essentially have those groups already as a yes for an annexation when they come in. And this was started back in 2007 with concerns about the rate of development in our urban growth area and their access to city services and essentially concerns about not paying their fair share of city services, specifically with parks and the additional 911 response by police officers.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you. So let's go ahead and, for the record, indicate that Councilmember Davis in her chambers at 7:12 p.m. Good evening, Councilmember Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Davis, right now we are on the second public hearing. This is for the ordinance amending MMC 1308-240 related to sanitary sewer service area for first reading. And we do have two lights. We'll go ahead and I didn't see who came first. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Okay, I'm confused. So we're doing this for annexation purposes, and you're going to have to explain it again a little bit slower.
The primary one is for annexation, and we didn't specifically limit it down to a sewer extension agreement. That's our utility extension agreement. That's one tool that we can use.
Okay, let's stop there. So a sewer extension agreement is where we're extending sewer outside of the city limits?
Correct.
So that's the first part. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, next part.
So one of the tools is the sewer extension agreement. They can also enter into what's called a pre-annexation agreement with the city.
Okay.
If they choose it. And these are different vehicles to essentially get us to the same place of the city annexing those parcels so we don't have that urban level density in our urban growth area.
So does that mean that they will be annexed when?
That's up to a time frame if we want to initiate the annexation on those areas.
By the city, not by the individual.
By the homeowners. By the city. The homeowners also have the right to petition the city for annexation, too.
Well, I know that, but in times before when we've had annexation discussions, mm-hmm. We've had people actually tell us, no, they don't want to be annexed by the city.
Correct.
This essentially sets the standard, I guess, that we will annex them. Well, do they still have a choice, or are we just providing services? Because I think we provide services at a higher rate if it's outside the city, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Water, not sewer.
Not sewer?
Brett, is sewer provided at a higher rate outside the city?
Yes, 1.5 times.
Okay. So I guess I'm just trying to get my head to wrap around this. So in the event of we do the agreement, we have the sewer extension.
Mm-hmm.
The agreement is that they will be annexed at our discretion or their request, however we want to do it.
Correct, and it goes a little deeper than that because we're only making an agreement with those parcels. Those parcels that would like sewer from us. Oftentimes when you go to annex an area, they won't just let you carve out a small chunk, especially if it has irregular boundaries. It goes to Snohomish County for review, and then it can go to what's called the Boundary Review Board. And so many times we'll be going out for a vote, and there may not be people that want to annex into the city. And so if they're not under essentially that utility agreement or pre-annexation agreement or some other agreement that we've worked out in order to allow for our utilities to be extended out,
right,
they could be a no vote. And it could be where Snohomish County comes back and says, you know what, we don't like your borders that you drew. We want you to take this whole area in. So I want to emphasize that this isn't a guarantee by any chance.
And I think that's what I was looking for, is whether or not are committed, or someone is committed in the future of doing the annexation. I'm seeing the lawyer head shake, so I guess that's a negative.
That's correct, Council. In fact, in the template agreement that we've developed for the city, it makes that point emphatically clear, that even if the sewer service is being extended outside the city limits per the agreement, any future annexation will be at the discretion of the city. Nothing about that will compel the city to proceed with an annexation that it does not want to.
Okay. And the way you've described it, since we're not providing service for the entire area, it's just going to be, like you said, they could have a no vote for the parcels that we're not providing the service for.
Absolutely.
And that we wouldn't have an annexation going forward. Is there any downside for the city with this?
No, just as the city attorney described, we do have the discretion. We could choose not to annex. The hope is once you get these initial parcels that sign the agreement, they extend utilities, then those subsequent parcels will start developing out, because you essentially did some of the legwork by pulling the utilities up, and then as they develop out, these parcels will be signing these agreements, and you'll have enough of a mass to annex in these areas.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay, so along that vein, to some degree, this 110 parcel or lots, we run sewer out to them. Are the mitigation fees paid by the developer, and therefore sewer is provided to all 110 lots, or are we talking about he wants it, he doesn't, he wants it, he doesn't, and only the people that want it have to pay the mitigation fees? Connected with getting sewer out there?
So within the subdivision itself, the property that they're subdividing, just due to the density that they need to achieve, they have to be connected to sewer. Because
everybody would have it.
Exactly.
So everybody would have a mitigation fee, either to the developer who's going to pay us to run sewer out there, or some way or another, we're going to get our money.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right, any further questions, Council? All right, we're going to go ahead and move on then to open up the public hearing. Is there anybody who has signed up to speak, Ms. Atkinson?
No.
All right. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak on this proposed ordinance? Anybody at all? All right, seeing none, Council? Councilmember Hanford.
Move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Councilmember Hanford.
No discussion, but thank you, Ben. I remember you talking about this maybe 2 weeks ago, kind of prepping us for it. So, great work. I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Scarborough to close the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 001-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code, MMC section 13.08.240, to establish criteria under which sanitary sewer service will be extended outside of city boundaries into the urban growth area, UGA.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for the requested action in letter C on the agenda bill, as typed. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. And I think I closed the wrong window on my computer here. Okay, we are moving on to announcements and presentations now. This will be item number one, the blueprinted agenda. And AB 18028, confirmation of salary and civil services commission appointments. So you see in your, so this is one where I'm listed as a presenter. I have interviewed people for some openings, including on the civil services commission and the salary commission, and am requesting council's confirmation of my appointment of Susan
Venegas, I hope I pronounced your name correctly, to the Monroe Civil Services Commission, and Shelley Ann Jensen to the Monroe Salary Commission. Their background information is in the packets there for you, and that's all that I have to present. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I guess the only question I would have is if Ms. Venegas or Jensen or here tonight would like to say anything to us.
I'm here, but I don't.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I'll move to confirm the mayor's appointment of Susan Venegas. All right.
Go ahead with the
Venegas to the Monroe Civil Service Commission and Shelley Ann Jensen to the Monroe Salary Commission.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action as identified in Agenda Bill Number 18-028. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. As usual, I like to ask council members if they know anything about the individuals personally or can recommend them at all. So,
Councilmember Kemp.
I don't really know anything. I did notice in the application, Ethics Board was the first choice, and then they went to the Civil Service Commission. Was there a preference?
I think that we probably discussed the two boards, and we have a need for the Civil Service Commission. We have officers that we're going to be looking at the list, and it would have happened as a result of the conversation we had. Yeah.
I was just curious.
I wish I could remember the specifics right now, but I'm not.
That's fine.
Sorry,
thank
sir.
You.
Yep. Anything further? Councilmember Hanford, you still have the floor. You did pose a question, but you have the floor.
Thank you. That's my question.
All right. Thank you. All right. So there's a motion on the floor and there's a second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, everybody. We now have the oath of office.
Ms. Jensen. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do your oath of office. Okay. If you will raise your right hand, I will go ahead and lead the oath, and then you may choose to swear and affirm, and I will do your second.
Okay.
Shelley Ann Jensen, you do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Salary Commissioner according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding. Thank you. Would you call me Venegas? Venegas. Okay. Susan Venegas. You do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Civil Services Commissioner according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
I do so swear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Thank you both, Commissioner Jensen and Commissioner Venegas. All right. The next item that we have on our agenda is announcements and presentation item number two. I have ad written here to our clerk. You're just indicating that this was added to the agenda?
That's right. You need to eventually just add it to the agenda.
Council members, is there any objection to adding the proclamation for recognition of service for Sister Barbara Gibb to the agenda?
No.
Seeing none, we'll go ahead and consider that added to the agenda. Let me go ahead and read a proclamation into the record. This is a proclamation recognizing Sister Barbara Gibb. Whereas Sister Barbara Gibb contributed to the well-being and welfare of people in the Monroe community, including serving as including serving at St. Mary of the Valley for 41 years, as a chaplain for 35 years to the City of Monroe Police Department and Monroe Fire District, and as a domestic violence advocate for 20 years. And whereas Sister Barbara Gibb counseled and comforted people in and working for our community, caring for others by giving tirelessly of her time and energy without asking for recognition or compensation. And whereas Sister Barbara Gibb passed away on the 4th of February 2018, after humbly sharing God's blessings of peace, hope, love, and grace through her works and by her faith to so many people throughout her life. And whereas while Sister Barbara Gibb's presence will be missed, her legacy endures in the hearts of the people she met and in the community she served. And whereas we are thankful for that legacy. Now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby recognize and give thanks for Sister Barbara Gibb and invite the residents of Monroe to join me in reflecting upon and giving thanks for her service and dedication to our community. So Father Bloom, please come forward. And you had indicated before that you might have a few words to say.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to invite you to the services of Sister Barbara. Many of you knew her, worked with her. Tomorrow we're having a vigil service beginning at 7:30. Start with a scripture rosary service, about a half hour. Then testimonies, beginning with Mayor Thomas, Pastor Michael Hanford, fire and police representatives, be giving testimonies regarding her. And there'll be some songs at the end. We're having an all-night wake. See if you want to come and pay last respects. We'll have an open casket there in the church all night. Different people will be keeping vigil. And the next day, the funeral will begin at 10:30. Invited to that. And at 3:00 in the afternoon, we're going to have a send-off and farewell for Sister Barbara. Yeah, the police will have an honor guard, or police will be there, I should say, lined up, and have the bagpipes, which will be wonderful. Second time will be played that day. And we wanted to have 41 doves that the children would release, but we found out from the dove people that it's too late for them to make it home before dark. So maybe a good lesson for our children. We will have a beautiful send-off for Sister Barbara and the sisters, Sister Phyllis, Sister Susan, representing her leaders in her order, will be taking her to California and be buried there in the cemetery. And the police will accompany her to the freeway. And that will be our farewell to Sister Barbara. So if you're able to come to any of those services, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll go ahead and present this to you. Council, please come on down and join me. On behalf of the grateful community, thank you.
Thank you.
I've given you two copies there, so if you have a second one.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
While we're speaking about Sister Barbara, I thought it a good time to just share a fond memory I had with her. Several years ago, I was unemployed, and she hired me to come and do yard work on a weekly basis. So she was pretty special.
Thank you, Councilor. And thank you, everybody. We're going to continue on with our business this evening and move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any matter related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. The first person we have who has signed in to speak this evening is Martha Donkers. Please come up and state your name and address for the record. Thank you, Ms. Donkers.
Thank you. Martha Donkers, 14005 Rhino Road, Monroe. I'm here on behalf of the Y. I am the current board chair. And last July, many of you remember, we had a presentation and wanted to reopen the discussion about having a contract with the city to help serve city residents who otherwise could not afford participating in the Y program. And we asked that we set up a collaborative committee to kind of work out the details. And I want to thank you because it's been very successful. We had the pleasure of meeting with Deborah Knight and Becky Hazard, right? And it was very productive. And it was a delight to see the professionalism, the collaboration, and the goodwill. We believe in community partnerships really benefit everybody. They benefit the city, they benefit us, but most of all, they benefit the community. So thank you for a very robust and professional process. And we are looking for your support tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Donkers.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who has signed up to speak this evening is Tanya Price. Ms. Price, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Tanya Price, 14430 Adams Avenue, Southeast of Monroe. And I'm going to tag on to Martha's comments representing the Y on the contract. I had an opportunity to work with Deborah and Becky, and it was a great opportunity. I learned a lot. And I just want to thank the council for consideration. I've been in Monroe for almost 20 years, and as a resident, I'm super excited to talk to people about this opportunity, a chance to partake in the Y, partake in the swimming lessons and the pool in our programs, and it makes me even more proud to be a citizen of Monroe, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm really sorry, I'm having a challenge reading the person's next name. Looks like it starts with a K?
Okay. Sorry.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Good evening, sorry. My name is Karen O'Meara Pullen, and I want to thank the Council and the City of Monroe for your wonderful support of the Y. I am fortunate enough to be on the board of the YMCA here in Monroe, and I really want to speak for both for me and my husband Desmond, who is also here, and for three generations of our family who love the Y, and we're very grateful to the Y for the programs. From, you know, from Silver Sneakers to Hard Yoga Room, my daughter is in spin class, to our grandchildren. I think my grandson never would have learned how to swim had it not been for the Y and swim lessons in the Y and all the camps that he's attended there. And I'm also, all of us, our whole family is really very grateful to the Y for its ongoing commitment for being an organization that really supports inclusion and equity and a full welcome for the whole community, not just in Monroe, but for the surrounding communities as well. And we're very grateful for that commitment, and we are grateful to the City of Monroe for supporting that commitment. I'm also fortunate enough to be on the Education Committee at Y. And it really does my heart so good every year when we're fortunate enough to be able to provide some scholarship money for graduates, high school graduates from the City of Monroe. Every year when I meet those young people, I think there's great hope for the world in Monroe, but the world in general, to know that their commitment to making the world a better place. So thank you for your support, for support of the Y, because it certainly is an important part of our community. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Any question? Ma'am?
Councilmember Scarborough?
I'm sorry, I understand you say you provide like scholarships for high school?
Yes, we do. The Y provides a couple of scholarships. Last year we provided three for young people, two of them were graduating from Monroe High School, and the other one was graduating from the Leaders in Learning program. And, you know, I must say that I have 45 years of working in education, so whenever I see young people motivated and committed committed to moving on with their aspirations. It's wonderful to be able to be to help that help them in that small way.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person we have who signed up to speak this evening is Desmond. And was it Omay Polkin?
I promised I would speak for my husband.
Thank you. The next person we have who signed up to speak, I believe, is Jamie Williams.
Yeah.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. And thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jamie Williams, and I moved into this community about 8 years ago. And shortly after I moved here, I lived at the top of Chain Lake, and shortly after I moved here, I got laid off. And I found myself in a position of being totally lost in a city where I knew nobody, just came, no job. Found myself as a stay-at-home mom, which I did not sign up for, with two children. A couple of days later, I walked into the Y. I never set foot in a Y before that time. And I learned very quickly that I found a home, even though I had really known no one yet. The YMCA opens its doors to so many people. They meet people right where they're at. It allowed me to find space, find my feet again, get my life back together, find a place for my children to grow and learn and meet other kids. They began to play soccer and t-ball and basketball there. They learned to swim at our YMCA, and I'm blessed to be a part of that, and I'm thrilled at the opportunity that now there'll be members of our community that will be able to take advantage of the same opportunities that I had 8 years ago. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe this evening? Anybody at all? Please come forward. State your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Dr. Hernandez. I work for the CMAR Community Health Clinic. I live in 748 Village Way, Monroe. So I arrived in Monroe when I was 15 years old. And I made it all the way to medical school, and now I'm a doctor. And I gotta say, I studied. I remember going to Everett Community College. We didn't have a Monroe MC at the time, but I remember I got through it by exercising at the Y. I got a free scholarship, so I could afford it. And so now I think this opportunity is just, it's not only helpful, but actually needed. So I treat heroin addicts in Monroe. Right now I'm seeing, depression, anxiety, diabetes, hypertension, you name it. And I tell them, go exercise, but there's nowhere. If you have no money, if you're unemployed, if you're a stay-home mom, there's nowhere. So I can tell them all I want, lose weight, exercise more, but if they have no opportunities. So we're gaining as a society, even in this hours of free YMCA, because there are so many people that just, they can't afford it. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to council on any issue this evening? Anybody at all? All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda then. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, and a second, I think, was that Councilmember Davis? Okay, any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number one. This is AB 18-031, authorizing mayor to sign professional services agreement with Monroe Sky Valley Family YMCA. Mr. Farrell.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to take that item.
Okay. Ms. Knight.
Thank you. Council, the issue in front of you this evening is authorizing the mayor to sign a professional services agreement for YMCA to provide recreational services to non-YMCA members but Monroe residents. And the city attorney wanted me to note for the record that even though Councilmember Cuddeback isn't here this evening, she does have an interest in this contract as a YMCA employee. And so in observance of RCW 42.23.0401, remote interest, I'm noting that for the record this evening. Thank you. So the proposed professional services agreement with the Y is really built upon the idea that non-member residents are going to have access to YMCA services, but that the city isn't going to be paying unless somebody signs up for that service. So this isn't a contract whereby the city is just providing $25,000 to the Y every 6 months. It's predicated upon actually distributing passes, and those passes are valued at $50. And that dollar amount was actually arrived at by doing a math calculation on the value of an annual pass, or an annual membership. So we actually went and did some math and determined that the value of the 7 hours of swim lessons plus the discounted services is equal to a $50 pass during a 6 month period. So under the proposal, the YMCA and the city would be operating in partnership to advertise the program. Somebody comes into the YMCA, they initiate signing up for the services that we're providing for the pass, and when the end of 6 months comes and the YMCA reports back out to the city, we're only paying for those passes that have been distributed. And then the second month period would be the same. What we wanted to ensure was that we just didn't have folks who signed up for a pass but didn't use it for an entire year, right, taking up a place for somebody else that may have been using a pass. So that's the reason for the break at 6 months. So in July or August then, the YMCA would come back to us, report out how many passes they distributed, how many services were used, and then request reimbursement for those services. And the same thing would happen then again in January for the second half of the year, from July to December. So I'm available to answer any questions that the City Council might have about this proposed contract.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I do have a couple questions. But first, I move to authorize the mayor to sign the professional services agreement with the Monroe Sky Valley YMCA and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action as stated, as typed, rather, in Agenda Bill Number 18-031. You still have the floor. Councilmember Hanford, discussion on the motion.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I really appreciate the staff meeting with the Y to work through so that we're paying for services and not just, like you said, a blanket check. I really like that. And just to clarify, so it's payable every 6 months, so they'll report out and we'll verify and then distribute the funds at that point?
Right, that's correct.
Okay. And then the only question I have then is how exactly will the passes be distributed?
So folks will have to come into the YMCA, and I'm presuming they'll go into the YMCA process whereby you fill out some application. Mm-hmm. They confirm residency in the city of Monroe, and then they receive a pass that allows them to access services.
So it'll be distributed right there at the Y?
Right there at the Y.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. First question is, since we're starting late in the year, is this going to extend out through February of 2019?
No, we actually considered that, but then recognized that the council had only given budget authority through the end of 2018. So if you want to continue the program, it would be something that you'd have to budget in 2019.
So 10 months, so we're talking 5 months for the $25,000 in reality, correct?
Right, and the way that I understand it and talking to Y staff, they currently have about 3,000 non-member residents who sign up for the youth camps, and so distributing those passes, they feel won't be necessarily an issue. They'll be able to do that within the 10-month time frame.
Okay. The other question is, and I try to picture from the description of our document how this is going to work, and actually, I didn't understand it. At first, I thought it was going to involve both current members and non-members, but now you're saying it's just non-members.
Just non-members.
So let me give you a scenario. So I walk into the Y. I'm not choosing to join the Y, but I want to use the services.
Right.
Is that how it works?
Right. So, for example, if you're a resident of Monroe, okay, you're not, and you want to access Y services, you could go into the YMCA. You could say you've heard about this program.
Okay. Stop there. What service? Are there any services that are excluded? Because there, I know there are a lot of programs.
Right. So the services that are included are limited.
So it's 7 hours of pool service per week, 5 hours on Sunday, 1 hour during the middle of the week in the morning, and 1 hour in the middle of the week during the evening. And I forget which days. I think it's actually...
Okay, but you're explaining it, and that's good. That's what I was looking for, is if there are time limits, if there are limitations.
Yes.
So the
second access that you have then is to YMCA programs.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of those programs are youth camps and youth services.
Right.
There are some limited adult services that are provided, and those are provided at the member discount rate. So if you're not a member of the YMCA rate, and let's say a program would cost you $100, if you have the card, you could access that program for the Y member rate of $75.
So summer camp.
Exactly.
Has a lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming lessons. Same thing, or?
I would have to look. I see Tanya nodding yes over there.
Okay. So, again, this is directing at non-members. Is there any... I was trying to explain this to someone today, and I couldn't come up with all the answers to it. If they... This is good for the whole six-month period. I kept picturing this was a one-month thing. So this $50 fee, oh yeah, the family, that was it. Are families handled differently, or is it like one member? For example, I have four children. Would that be four passes, or would that be one pass?
For an entire family.
For the entire family.
Right, yeah. The same way as a membership, currently a family membership. One pass per person?
Individual.
And one pass per person.
All right, so
a family of four
would be
five passes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I think you've given me a good scenario, so I can understand it now. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, everybody. Councilmember Scarborough.
So, to take this a little bit farther, do people who come in and want access to these programs that are provided, do they have to show a financial inability?
No, there's no financial requirement whatsoever. If you don't currently have a membership with the Y, you would be allowed to access this program because you are a Monroe resident.
Okay, and so the programs are available until the $25,000 is gone.
The passes are available until the $25,000 are gone.
And then it renews for the second half of the year.
And then it renews, exactly.
And do we have any other policies or, let's say, guidelines for the other entities around town that would want to use this that might seek financial help from the city to do their programs? Can the Boys and Girls Club come in? Can the Senior Club come in and say, based on what we get, will you help us? And what do we base a yes or no on to those other entities? And there may be more around, I don't know of.
Excellent question. So right now, the council in its budget process has been responding to requests for funding. So for example, this year you put $50,000 in for the YMCA, and we've negotiated this proposed contract. You also approved a contract with the Monroe Senior Center for $15,000 for transportation services. So as far as I could tell, looking back on the record, the way the council has been handling it is on a case-by-case basis. The experience that I have in some of the previous jurisdictions that I've worked in is that there's an actual process in place, you know, whereby you do a request for proposal, the council sets a budget, you send out and ask for people to submit proposals to you, and then you view them all together, and that allows you to have a much more holistic approach to the way that you're handling requests. And what we've talked about internally is bringing a proposal back to the Finance Committee at your next meeting on February 13th to ask that very question. How do you want to handle these types of requests in the future? But that wasn't something that Council went through last year when setting its budget process, you actually put aside money specifically for the YMCA. And so we were asked as staff then to negotiate a contract that would be beneficial to both the city and the YMCA and Monroe residents. And that's what we think we brought you here today.
So it's kind of an application process at this point. Boys, seniors come in with an application. We'd like to give you this. We need this money. We'll provide this service, and anybody else could do the same thing. And we would take it to the council or the finance committee and determine whether or not it may or may not be realistic.
Right. So in the past, you've been doing them just on a case by case basis, following that process. And what we'd like to bring to the Finance Committee for discussion is an actual grant application process for human services as allowed under the state constitution to avoid a gifting of public funds.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. So if I understand correctly, each pass is per person, so in Councilmember Camp's scenario, five people in his family, five passes. Okay. And so then, you know, let's say that all $25,000 worth of passes is exhausted in that first 6 months, and then the next 6 months rolls around. You know, you've got all those current pass holders that want to continue. You've got others kind of waiting over here. It's a good problem to have. How is it chosen? Is it a lottery system or is it first come, first serve?
First come, first serve.
Okay. And then residency, how is that verified? Has that been determined? Is it utility bill, driver's license?
We didn't ask how the Y was planning to verify. We just required that they do verify. So their verification process is up to them, how they confirm those. We want the list, though, of people that have gotten passes, so we also can confirm when they're requesting reimbursement.
Okay, so that'll
be part of double check.
That'll be part of our,
exactly,
our audit process.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I guess the only other question I really have is that in the previous conversations and the presentations we've had, I was under the impression, at least, that the basis for this was really in regards to the pool and the importance of swimming and teaching kids, families, how to swim, which I think is great. You know, as a former Y member, former board member, grew up as a Y kid, very familiar with the Y and everything it offers, and very, very comfortable and supportive of it. And including my own kids going to the swim lessons and seeing the benefits of it. But, you know, that was the presentation that I heard. This is going to really focus on swim lessons. But I've seen in the contract, there's access to the pool, and then there's essentially discounted rates for the other programs. Now, this isn't all that the Y offers, so how someone comes in to use the pool under one of these passes, is there barriers to stop them from using the rest of the facility, or?
I can't answer how the Y would manage the program on their end, so perhaps that's something that Tanya would like to address.
Tanya, Ms. Price, please come forward.
You're on the hot spot.
So
state your name and position with YMCA, please.
Tanya Price, Development and Corporate Relations Director. Almost forgot who I was. So we understand that the way that our facility is set up and the structure and the way the building flows, that there may be some city residents that end up in the basketball courts or the cardio weight room. And we understand, as far as our mission is concerned, our priority is making our community more healthy. And we understand that that may be something that happens. And to be honest, it's really not a concern that we have. We're not going to be going through the hallways and looking for city residents to say you can't be in here, but we understand it's possibly a byproduct and it's going to be minimal, and we're okay with that. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much, because, you know, honestly, when I read this contract,
don't go away.
When I read this contract, it seemed kind of almost very limiting. And I know personal experience why it's much more than that. From a council perspective, and again, keeping in the back of my mind that my understanding of this upcoming proposed contract was in relation to the pool and swim lessons. I was envisioning something where we addressed and gave passes for the pool, and then outside of that, if the Y gave a certain discounted rate for certain programs or access to the rest of that, completely up to them. That's their business, up to them. Personally, I don't think that that necessarily needs to be in our contract piece of it. So that bit of feedback from what I'm seeing. The other, I guess, concern I have with this is $50,000 is a lot. And when you compare it to what we've given to the senior center and what we're proposing to give to the DMA, in the DMA, if I remember right, it's $25,000. And we've said, we'll do it, review it each year, plan for a few years, but this is to help you get on your feet, off and running. So $25,000 for the whole year, $15,000 for senior center. So when you take those recent ones and compare it to $50,000, there's a pretty big gap in my opinion. So I just want to bring attention to that. And if there's something that we can do for the first year that still supports the Y, but maybe when we look at a smaller dollar amount, I think I'd feel more comfortable with that. I think we do support the Y for services in relation to the pool, because it's a great pool, and swimming lessons, not only for youth but also adults, are extremely important. And the fact that they would very likely have access to healthy programs within that facility, I think is an extreme bonus. So that's my opinion. Thoughts? That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you for your patience, but I did want you to have all the way back there, so I'm going to ask a question.
Oh, okay.
Concerning the why. So they mentioned that there's a benefit to the city, and there's a benefit to the members of the city. What's the benefit to the Y?
Again, it aligns with our mission, to provide healthy options for the community. We filter all of our programs, anything we do through the three pillars of healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility. We want people in our programs. We know that our programs are successful, and it really is about that. And it will bring more people in our door. It will make us busy. We are busy this time of year. We're busy in the fall as well. And it really is just bolstering that sense of community. But it lines up perfectly with our mission.
Okay. I won't keep you up here anymore. I just was curious about that part. I've got a couple of comments here that, so you can see it if you want. Wow, she's going to be like, I apologize for my. Anyway, benefits to the Y. I remember back when we had the agreement with Y back in before 2008 or whenever the contract was canceled. It was a good program, and it was really convenient that we could get people to use services at the Y, in particular the pool. I think that was one of the main selling points for it. I think this is going in the right direction and answers some of the concerns I had last year when I was looking at basically a blank check to the YMCA. My big concern was that we were just going to give the YMCA money and say, figure it out. But it sounds like you guys negotiated a good deal with the city. My concern has been lower income, single parent, families, children without access. I didn't grow up as a YMCA kid. I grew up as a Red Shield kid. But it's the same general category. I think this is a good idea. I do understand the concerns. And the difference between $15,000 for a senior center
and then a $50,000 difference. I see the magnitude of the difference.
If I may add to that, if you think about it, the way that this contract is set up, it's really based on the community response. So based on their response is the invoice amount that we would be sending on a six-month term, at the end of that term, to the city.
And that was the point I was going to make next, but thank you.
Okay.
So it's going to depend on use. So that's a part of it. And I think the $50,000 over essentially a 10-month period allows ample opportunity. And if we don't, it sounds like we're going to probably hit the top mark. But if we didn't, at least we'd have a better perspective on how much it would really get used. Personal opinion, back 2008 when it was running, when the contract was running, I know a lot of people who use it on a part-time basis. Just, it was, like I said, the only pool in town.
And if you think about benefits to the Y, we are also aware that there may be some of our existing members who choose to cancel their membership as it is now with us, mm-hmm. and opt for the city resident membership. So that conversion rate we think is going to be relatively low, but it's a possibility.
Does that concern you?
Mm-mm, no.
Because you'd be losing, what is it, $100 a family?
No, because they'll be using it to a level that works for them.
Okay.
They get access 3 times a week, which is a pretty good hit as far as physical activity. Plus, they have access to programs as well. And a lot of those are Denver Center youth programs for their kids. So if you come swimming 3 times a week, that's pretty good exercise. That's a good thing to do.
And then my last point would be, actually, I'll yield to an answer to a question. Do you feel that we should reconsider and look at the amount, do a little bit more consideration on that, or
that's unusual. This is my comments when, you know, 50,000 compared to some of the other contracts that we've approved, I think there's a big gap in it. So at least for the first year.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you so much for your patience. I'll turn it over to whoever gets you next.
Ms. Price, I think I would remain there. Bring you a chair next time.
Okay.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay. You made a comment, so I would ask, is your expectation of people, or that people might, after getting this money to do the programs, that they might see the benefit and come back and join as a regular member?
Possibly. In the past, when we had the contract back in 2008, and that contract went away because the economy tanked, we did not see a huge conversion rate of those city memberships converting to regular memberships.
Okay, and then the other thing, and it's kind of in line, I think, with what both things are saying, and that's a financial inability to do it any other way. And I don't hear you saying that you have any program that says this person is in this income bracket and without this program could not show up. In fact, I think I heard you say people that don't feel like they're using their $90 a month for their family access could give it up and come to this free program and use it less, but get it for basically nothing.
If I understand your question, we do have a financial services or financial assistance program, but there's a stigma with that, and a lot of people feel uncomfortable about coming in and asking for that type of assistance. So it is available if they want to convert to that type of assistance. Absolutely.
I think more what I was saying is that I wonder if there should be a way to determine whether this person should get it, and I shouldn't because I make enough money not to. I mean, I'd hate to use that as an example, but I'd say I come in and say, never mind, I can get this program for this dollar figure, and I no longer have to pay this to go to the thing my wife and I, which I wouldn't do. But that's kind of what we're talking about. I think it's one of the things that's been alluded to up here is the young lady that spoke to this and said, that there were people around that wouldn't be able to use it because they didn't have the money. So I would think that this kind of program would want to be there for the people who couldn't afford to do the Y or join the Y otherwise. So I'm not against what we're going to do here, but I would suggest that maybe we consider in the future, if we're going to approve this, that maybe that same committee that had a conversation about the contract, whether or not that should or should not be part of the contract.
Are you suggesting kind of doing like an income screening of
yes.
people that come in?
Yes.
For, and that's something that we have done traditionally at the Y. And what we've found out is that there are a lot of extenuating circumstances to people's, you know, what they're paying out, their income level, and we've also discovered that that's a huge barrier for people coming in. If you're requesting paperwork and forms and things like that, something like 50% of people won't come back, which means they're not accessing a facility that's going to improve their health. And so we've got a lot of experience with that, and so I would be concerned about putting that type of process in place.
I would look forward to a further conversation about that.
Okay.
If you'd like. As I have the floor, I will also make a comment about, and you can sit down and do this as just a comment,
okay.
unless you have more people to do this.
Please get comfortable and we'll
okay.
call you back up. You can take the first chair right next to Brad.
The comment is, it's coming from a family where my mother taught me to swim at a pool that they were a membership in. I understand the importance of that pool. It's a big deal. It is a big deal because I remember there was another facility in town many, many years ago came in and said, join us, and in 2 years we're going to put a pool in, and they never did. And that was the factor that stopped me from going to that facility for any kind of exercise. I'll further say that it was unbelievable to me to get to boot camp in the Navy and find out there was guys that couldn't swim. Join the Navy, can't swim. There's just something wrong with that picture. So I think and a lot of them were inner city kids. They didn't have an opportunity. And didn't have the opportunities that my mother thought I should have. And I think the pool is the difference between maybe your facility and one or two other facilities, or three or four facilities around town that have the exercise machine, they don't have the pool. And I know that pool's a big service. I think it's a big maintenance pain in the you-know-what, because I worked at the pool in my Navy career, too, and I know what it went through, and I know what we see in the Alamo pool in the Snohomies, and it went by the way of the Buffalo, you know. So I applaud your having a pool. I applaud the programs that push swimming for people who want to learn to swim, whether they're kids or adults, because it's hard for me to fathom somebody who can't swim. Again, I go back to the Navy. Unbelievable that somebody couldn't swim. Of course, I didn't know how to spit shine shoes, and the inner city kid had to teach me how to spit shine shoes, and I had to teach him how to swim. So I guess it all works out. But those are my concerns, and I think it's mostly on the financial ability of somebody who needs the help as opposed to somebody who thinks it's a benefit to take this and give up this. Thank you for your time. And I might add that the young lady can run circles around me at the gym and just about everybody else. So. Thank you.
But you're at the gym.
I'm sorry?
You're at the gym, so that's thumbs up right there. Thank you, Councilmember Scarborough. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I had one other question, but you know, really to piggyback on the conversation in regards to financial aid and scholarships. Support Tanya's point. It is someone that does a part of my job too. It's very, very difficult, and it does create barriers when you start asking for stuff. And when your mission is to support the community and make it healthier, provide safe places for children.
I'm open to education.
Yep. I appreciate your comments there, Tanya, on that. Live it every day. So, the question we did have was in regards to the pool, so 5 hours each Sunday, and then 1 hour weekday morning, 1 hour week day evening as determined by a contractor, that being the Y, I assume. Are those generally going to be just during the open swim times that are already scheduled, or is there going to be a separate community swim hour? Do we know yet?
Do you want to know the specific times?
Yeah, just because in the contract it says, simply says 1 hour weekday morning, 1 hour weekday morning a week as determined by contractor. So I'm just curious what that means.
Right now it's set on Wednesday evening at 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. and Friday mornings from 9 until 10. And our goal is to keep those times the same so they don't fluctuate, because we know that people, when they get set in a schedule and a habit, change, even a 15-minute change can rock somebody's world when they've got a good habit going. So our goal is to keep those times set. If we do come across something where we need to change them a little bit, then we've got the flexibility to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I assume that those times would be advertised in within the marketing and
as much as possible.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Thank you. So, and again, I just want to reiterate my comments is that, you know, I support the Y and the city partnering with the Y. I do feel that $50,000 is a big chunk to start. You know, that's one piece. And then, you know, knowing what the Y does, I think having it in here is either we focus on the pool and allow the Y to, I guess, upsell the other programs, program access, the weight room, cardio room, all the other classes, so that families are healthier. I think that's up to them. Or we add that to this. So that's my take.
And if I can just, there's a lot of mention of $50,000. It really, again, is the response of the community. If 100 people sign up for it, that's what we invoice. We won't be invoicing the $50,000. So it really is the community response, and I think that's going to be really interesting going forward if this does pass. And as far as upselling, we're offering, you know, we're considering this membership a member. It's a part of the Y. They will be members, even though it'll be kind of a mini member. But they'll have preferred pricing for any of the programs for youth sports, youth dance, and any of the other programs. So they will be considered members. And as far as upselling, the price is what it is. We offer financial assistance. And again, our goal is to make our community more healthy and make it affordable for them. Upselling just isn't a word that we use, so it stuck out to me.
If I may.
Yes.
I say that simply just because in the contract this is one thing, but you're offering much more.
Okay.
So it's wasn't intended how.
Thank you for clarifying. Thank you.
Anything further?
I'll do it.
All right, Council. So I was here in, I don't know, 2003, 2004, when Tanya, you can sit down if you like. I was here in 2003, 2004 when the YMCA had notified the council that they were interested, that they had purchased land here in Monroe. And at the time, our two sons were right around 8 to 10 years old, somewhere in there. And I asked the question of the executive director at the time, well, you know, so you're going to have a pool, right? And the answer was yes. And I asked the question, okay, well, how soon is this going to be? Because, again, I had something like an 8-year-old and maybe a 10-year-old living at home and wanted them to have access to a pool that was closer than Alamo. And learned that it was going to be another 5 years before they could start their capital campaign. In 2005, the City Council entered into an agreement with the YMCA to have a financial stake, a partnership. The contract was a 15-year contract for about $2 million, where the city was going to receive services at services that are more than what we're looking at right now, at a total of about $130,000 every year. They were brought to town and or rather the pool was seen as a way of supporting what was in our Parks and Recreation Plan at the time, which was to have a pool in partnership with another entity. So the council at that point in time supported that decision to move forward because it was realizing one of the goals in the comprehensive plan. And I, looking back, completely understand that in 2009, with the drop in the economy, a lot of local governments, a lot of people at home, a lot of businesses were making changes to budgets. When the YMCA came forward a couple years ago and then again last year, I saw the opportunity to have the conversation again with council and see about entering back into the financial commitment that we had made back in 2005. The YMCA lived up to their end of the bargain, built a pool, and expected that we would be able to follow through with our commitment, our 15-year commitment. And again, we had things happen that required that we backed out of it at that point in time. And I understand that. To me, I see this as a way of renewing that commitment that we made back in 2005. And I thank the council very much for really considering what is here and placing some rigor around what you're looking at. I support the city moving forward with this contract, and I thank you all again for the deliberation. Tanya, you and your staff, thank you very much for working with our staff on this, and Deborah and Becky and whoever else involved from the city side. Mike, Becky was calling you out and pointing at you. Thank you very much for all of your hard work on this. And Councilmember Kim?
Would you like to have a vote first?
No, I'm thanking you in advance for your deliberation, and I'm hoping to vote for it.
Sounds like a never mind.
So, with that said, if there's nobody else, we'll go ahead and vote. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, everybody, and we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. All right, the next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 18032, authorize the mayor to sign an exclusive sale agreement or sale of land with Lee & Associates for North Kelsey Real Estate Brokerage Services. Ms. Knight.
Thank you, and actually this item and the one following are a pair of items together that move us forward on marketing the North Kelsey property. If the council remembers, we were given direction to find a new broker after our current broker agreement expired back in September. We advertised through an RFP process and didn't get any responses to our first offer, and then went back and also went out and talked to individual groups and ended up interviewing two companies, Lee & Associates and Caldwell Banker Commercial. Persons that were involved in the interview were myself, our community development director, Ben Swanson, and Bob Stowe, our consultant who is assisting us with packaging up the properties for sale. And after interviewing both firms and taking a look at their proposals that are in your packet this evening, we're recommending that the city move forward with an agreement with Lee & Associates. I have two representatives from the broker's firm here this evening. We have Rich Peterson and Tiffany Connell. And so I don't know if the mayor wants an opportunity to have Mr. Peterson and Ms. Connell step forward and introduce themselves. They were patient enough to wait through the deliberation about the YMCA contract. I did let them know that they could go when they were finished with this portion and not have to wait through the rest of the meeting.
Thank you. Hi. Please go ahead and state your name and business address for the record.
I'm Tiffany Connell. I'm actually at West Coast Commercial Realty. It's a co-brokerage agreement, and I'm at 2101 4th Avenue, Suite 920, Seattle, Washington, 98121.
And I'm Richard Peterson with Lee & Associates, and we're at 701 Pike Street, Seattle, Washington, 98101.
And I guess I just wanted to say, this is my first meeting of this manner. He's been to several on the development side, but it was really great actually to see this community. I'm actually really excited about how much pride there is in here. I've been working on some of the retail in this area for about 11 years. I've worked on a lot of projects that you guys are very aware of and probably go to on a weekly basis. So I still have 4 listings here, and my role will be on the retail side of things. Richard's role will be on the industrial, multifamily, some of the office.
Yeah, we were actually contacted by your consultant, and then I brought Tiffany in to work with us because I've worked with Tiffany on many different occasions, and with the retail nature, that's not my area of expertise at all. My background is really development and getting the developers and building projects. So together, I think we're a good team for the project because it needs both parts, both understandings. So we're looking forward to it. We think mm-hmm. it's a nice property and it's a good economy. So hopefully we can take advantage of the economy right now and before something like 2007 ever happens again.
Well, I was working on the project. As Deborah knows, I was working on the project right before about 2006, 2007. With your beautiful master plan that was gorgeous at the time from the retail standpoint, and of course the economy changed dramatically. So I'm excited to finish it out, really, and this great community. And I'm very sincere when I say that it's neat to hear with the community how passionate they feel about this community. So I don't get to see that on the retail side, so it's fun to hear that. I'm very excited about it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, do you have any questions for us?
We're going to go ahead and call on the lights up here now. And if you could just remain close to the podium, that would be great in case there are questions. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. No questions. I move to authorize the mayor to sign the exclusive sale agreement, sale of land with Lee & Associates Commercial Real Estate Services, excuse me, to act as the listing agent for the properties commonly known as North Kelsey, and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 18032. Councilmember Hanford, you still have the floor.
That's it.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Scarborough.
Maybe Deborah, you can answer the question, and certainly you may be answered. What do you bring to our table being out of Seattle and not being out of Monroe?
If you've
already asked that question and you're satisfied with the answer, then I don't need it.
I think it's worth it to go ahead and let Ms. Connell and Mr. Peterson explain why we selected them for this project and their experience in the community.
Well, I'll speak on the retail side of it, but retail is really not it's a regional discipline. Oftentimes, the easiest way to describe it would be something like a Subway. You know, these franchises look at overall pictures of where they want to put their retail locations. You probably will end up with a local franchisee, somebody that is a local person. But in terms of their overall strategy for a market, even though you might think of them as somebody local, they really are operating on a much larger scale. I personally have done almost 800 retail leases. That's all I do. So I've done probably 25 Subways at least. So I'm able to advise the city on what might be a good developer, you know, package that would include the types of retail that we consider in Monroe. You know, if somebody came to me and said, well, we want a Nordstrom Rack, you know, here, I could tell you a lot quicker that the chance of that is very, very low, and we probably shouldn't spin our wheels, you know, working on trying to find somebody to do that. Now, if we're going to do something that makes more sense, I can help you with that because I have such a huge reach. So it's very hard for somebody who's just based here to work on that aspect.
Okay, so it's getting the reach. It's the networking on something bigger than.
Yeah, it's a real market. Yes, it's a. My discipline is very regional. It's not necessarily by city.
Okay. And generally, your users and your developers don't come from Monroe. So a few might. But there's a big world out there, yeah. So that's really we're in Seattle because that's where the center of the activity
is. Where the big world is.
Well, you got some pretty big traffic out here too. No, it's where you want to be the center. So and we're connected to a lot of the other brokerage firms, and we usually don't. You know, quite often when we work on a listing, we're not the one that actually procures the user as much as we're representing you as the seller. So by being in the mainstream, we're exposed to a lot more opportunities and things and where they're going and where they come from. And then we take, well, here's an opportunity that can work for you and direct them to Monroe.
So you're hoping they come to you instead of you having to go find them?
Well, not really. We're talking to them all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where do you want to, so if it's a developer, I'll talk to the developer side. I'm always looking at different people doing different retail developments.
for multifamily developments in many different markets. So if we have a good opportunity for them out here, and Tiffany can convince them that we have the users for it, whether it's a dentist office that's currently looking out there doing some work, I think a medical dentist office, and or things like Providence, they're going to come out of being in the central area and then go out to other places. So.
I have a lot of, and so does Richard, but I have a lot of experience in small towns, and so what you often find is that there may be individual developers who will be interested in the land that may be from this area, but again, there probably won't be. They're probably from out of the area because the expertise is so specific to develop that they might develop it, but then it might turn into an opportunity for a local person to buy it who maybe doesn't have the expertise to build a retail building, which is really hard to do right now with the way construction costs and all the modeling and stuff that goes into that. But then if there's a local person that wants to make an investment, I've seen that a lot in small towns where it's too hard at scale to do one retail building for the first time ever, right? Or multifamily, that's obviously extremely hard for a developer who's never done it before to consider that. So there will be some opportunity, I think. In other words, I'm just trying to say that it might not be, you may not end up with just a bunch of people from out of the area that come in and invest here, and they're not invested in your community. It's really, the life cycle of these projects is very long and very diverse, and you'll end up with a lot of local impact and interest over the long haul purchasing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything further, Council? Okay, there's a motion on the table. It is a request of action as written in Agenda Bill 18032. We'll go ahead and move on to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, everybody, and thank you both for coming.
Thank you. We're excited.
Yeah, we look forward to working with you.
Thank you. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is new business item number 3. It's AB 18033, authorize the mayor to sign consultant agreement with Makers Architecture and Urban Design LLC for site planning and illustration assistance to market and sell the North Kelsey properties. Ms. Knight.
Thank you. I'm learning a lot about property sale. I knew a lot about property purchase when I arrived at the city, but this is something that's new to me. And so one of the things that has struck me about marketing and selling North Kelsey is that it really takes a bigger team effort than I originally recognized when I came on board. So having Bob Stowe, which the council already approved that contract, and now approving the contract with the broker, that's two of the three pieces that we need. And the Makers contract that you have in front of you this evening, this is the third piece that we need. So this Makers contract is to provide us with the marketing materials and the drawings that are actually going to be able to sell that property. What Bob Stowe, our consultant, counseled is that currently the drawings and the marketing materials that we have for the property are old. They're based upon the 2008 plan, and what we really need to do is to refresh those. And so having the Makers contract will allow us to do that. I want to point out to the council that at the bottom of the budget impact on the first page, it states that the budget includes $60,000 to market the North Kelsey properties. That's an error. There's $50,000 in the North Kelsey budget, and the $10,000 that we're going to use for the Makers contract is actually in the executive department budget. We'd like to make that transfer sometime to the budget amendment to ensure that all of the costs associated with North Kelsey are in a single spot. But at this point, I just want to make that clarification. So I'm available to answer any questions that council might have.
Council, do you have any questions or a motion? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Move to authorize the mayor to sign a consultant agreement with Makers Architecture and Urban Design LLC for site planning and illustration assistance to market and sell the North Kelsey properties, and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 18033. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion abstentions. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is new business item number 4, AB 18034, ordinance number 002-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code regarding secondary fire access and residential yard setbacks for first reading. Mr. Swanson.
Great. Thank you, Mayor, Council.
He's already there.
You may remember a few weeks ago we discussed the proposed code amendments at a workshop. First one being the street block design on the first page, and this is essentially getting to a bigger concern I know Council had as far as connectivity between the subdivisions. Earlier, I acknowledge this isn't the perfect fit for it. This is something that will put essentially a temporary band-aid on the problem as we work forward and develop a larger solution to the connectivity issue. Just before our meeting tonight, I was talking with the city attorney, and if you look under the proposed MMC 1716030 subsection K, it starts with all lots within a subdivision. There may be a little bit of wordsmithing there, and it's more of a policy question, but other than that, for the first reading, this is generally the language that's proposed, and so it's debating back and forth on whether lot is the correct word or should it be street. So some minor changes that may be brought back at the second reading. And then the following one was a setback issue. Again, this was an inconsistency issue where there were two different spots in code. Each of them said something different. And so we essentially took the older of the two and proposed to strike that and stick with the setbacks in what's called the bulk matrix table, which is essentially the area where everybody goes to find the base information for setbacks.
All right. Council, any questions or a motion? Councilmember Davis.
So I'll move to accept as first reading ordinance number 002/2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code, MMC, section 17.16.030, street and block design to increase vehicular access to residential dwelling units, amending Monroe Municipal Code, MMC, sections 18.10.170, minimum single family zone setbacks, 18.10.180, minimum multifamily zone setbacks, and 18.10.185, minimum professional office zone setbacks, to remove requirements for additional yard setbacks for certain residential structures, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion for the requested action in Agenda Bill number 18034. That motion was seconded. The first was from Councilmember Davis, and the second was from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is final action number 1, AB 18035, approval of Parks Master Plans, Lake Tai Park and Cadman Site. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So here we are. Been going through this process. Started, last summer and through the fall and through the year. And here we are in beginning of February. And we have before you the Park Master Plans, the executive summaries. Just a little background. I want to run through is that these plans were based on extensive public involvement process, and I know through the several joint meetings that the City Council held with the Park Board, that came up a lot. And also I know several of the council members have attended, if not all of you, at various times, the extensive public meetings that we've had, the open houses, the studios, pop-up studios and whatnot. So back in September, there were pop-up studios, open houses, and that generated preliminary concept alternatives. Those alternatives were presented in a joint meeting in September to the Park Board and the City Council. And there was generally good support for the proposed improvements at each site, so then adjustments were made. to the designs to reflect the comments made during that meeting and from previous public outreach events. And then in October, the design team presented a draft preferred concept for each park site, along with potential phasing opportunities at another joint meeting. From the feedback gathered during that joint meeting, minor adjustments were made, and then presented preferred concept designs and potential phasing to the public in November. And then the design team took feedback received from that open house in November and also continued to tweak the master plans to, again, reflect community needs and concerns. Another survey, an online survey this time, was put out to the community, and then the draft cost estimates and funding opportunities were presented in another joint meeting, and that was in December of this year. So then together with the City Council and Park Board, then strategies were developed to make the plans more cost effective, and project phases were realigned to meet community feedback from the online survey. So the attached park master plans, and I'll pull them up here in a moment for you, they walk you through the cabin site and Lake Tai park from the early concept diagrams to the final master plans. In February 1st, the Monroe Park Board, at their meeting, they passed a motion recommending that the Monroe City Council approve the park master plans. So if approved by the City Council, the next steps would be a formal adoption process into the Monroe Comprehensive Plan for the 2019 cycle. Regarding fiscal impacts, these plans, if developed in their entirety, could cost upwards of $52 million. During 2019, the various individual elements of these plans will be prioritized into the Monroe Comprehensive Plan, as I mentioned, and they will be developed over a 20-year period. So then costs for a specific fiscal year would be scaled down accordingly and addressed as part of that year's budget process. And in addition, the individual elements are prioritized, as the individual elements are prioritized, and then costs are more readily available, then we staff will pursue various granting options to assist with resources that are needed for implementation. Some other, just kind of down the road here, further steps regarding the cabin site. So the cabin site, is, as you know, will eventually be transferred to the city, and so that it becomes city property. We had a great meeting about a month ago with representatives from Cadman, where we shared with them the master plan for the site, and then we chatted about how it interfaces with their restoration plan that they're required to do for their site. They've done some restoration work, and they have more to do. So we'll be meeting again with them, and we'll be setting a timeline for that eventual transfer of the property. So we see that time frame being somewhere around 2019-2020. The state grant, RCO, Recreation Conservation Office, all the state grants, they're on 2-year cycles. So we're entering into a cycle this year, 2018. The next one will be 2020. So what I see is that the cabin site, as it becomes part of our comprehensive plan, then we would be eligible to apply for grant funding for, you know, the first phase, some projects for that site. And then flipping back to Lake Tai, that brings us to this current grant cycle, the all-weather fields project, which is already in our comprehensive plan, it's in our park plan, but it's also a part of this master plan process. It's, you know, addressed in here. We can move on that already because, like I said, it is in our park plan. So we intend to, along with the state capital funding we receive, in this year's budget, we have design funds for the city to do, for capital funds to do design work. So we'll be moving on that. And then we'll be applying for grants through RCO to match with our design and the funding that we are also receiving from the state. So then how that is laying out is that we'll be working on design work this year, and then hopefully moving to construction in 2019. So I want to thank Juliet Funk. She is here, and from HPV and her team. They the interactions I've just noticed throughout the whole process. I mean, with not only with the City Council and Park Board, but most importantly with our public, were just wonderful. Just a lot of listening and just really capturing the input and thoughts and ideas and visions of our community. I thought they did a great job. I also want to thank the Park Board and also our City Mayor and City Council for all of your support and your participation and feedback throughout this process. So I think we really can be proud of this whole master plan process. And I also want to thank the community as well. That was a theme that was occurring throughout this process, was the high participation rate, and just the feedback we got from the community just was well above what's normal for these types of things. We have had a lot of transparency throughout this process. If you go just to the front page of our website, you can click and follow the links, and we've had every all access to materials from concepts through drawings all the way through to this executive master plan have been really readily available on our website, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from the public where they appreciate that as well. So with that, I'm going to invite Juliet to come up, and she and I would be happy to take any questions from you.
So I think Mike's going to bring up the presentation in case you guys do have any questions, but we figured we would, rather than walk through something that you probably are looking fairly familiar by now, we're happy to do that, but we can also just answer any questions you have. So I'm open either way.
Okay. Presentation fine, everybody? Please. Customer Rasmussen.
You know, I didn't have any questions. I just really want to commend Mike, your team, Parks Board, Julia, your team, and all city staff for their work on this. It's a long process. The only downside to this is that all these improvements that we're looking at are a long ways out. But this is the good first step that we need to take. You know, Mike, you hit on it in your comments. That stood out for me was the level of community engagement and outreach that was done throughout this process. It was very impressive, and you know, we hear it all the time as council members that we didn't know about that or never communicate that. And, you know, this was one thing where it was communicated a lot and constantly, and it was quality. And so I think more and more people are getting what was going on, and we're seeing it, whether they participated or not, who knows, but based off the feedback, I would say a lot. Several people enough participate to give everyone good feedback. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and move to approve the Parks Master Plan for Lake Tye and the Kevin site, and direct mayor and staff to adopt the plans into formal adoption process into the Monroe Comprehensive Plan for the 2019 cycle.
Second. We have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford. The requested action is typed in Agenda Bill Number 18035. Councilor, are you prepared to vote? Okay, we'll go ahead and move to a vote if that's okay. Staff, you have nothing? Okay. So we'll go ahead and move to a vote. First, is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you both very much for all the great work that you've done.
Thank you very much.
Mike, I was just buying you time to get this projector out.
All we need is money.
All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to council member reports. We'll start off with the Council Legislative Affairs Committee and Council Member Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, the Legislative Affairs Committee, I believe, has been moved to the third Tuesday of the month. I'll double check that here. Yes. So the Legislative Committee meets on the third Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
We'll have an update then. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. The other council committee that we have for report out is the City Council Transportation Planning, Public Works, Parks and Recreation, and Public Safety Committee. aka the P4 committee. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Notes there in everyone's packet, if you had a chance to read it, but primary discussion was regards to the WATB discussions that we've been having in council. And as a committee, we decided to have that come back to council on, I forgot my date. Let me see here.
Ms. Atkinson, WATB is scheduled to come back at March 20. Let me just look at our extended here really quick.
March 13th.
I believe it, yes, it is March 13th for the study session.
So, and then it was talked about at our January 23rd meeting, council meeting briefly in regards to the East County Parks and Recreation District. More to come on that. And the work plan is there in the packet if you're interested. And one thing that did come up after our meeting that I'd like to bring up now to consider for the work plan is crosswalks. There's a crosswalk policy. We had a comment, citizen comment during public testimony in regards to crosswalks, and I know myself and others have mentioned it as well, so if we can add that to our P4 committee work plan, that'd be fantastic. Other than that, happy to answer any questions you guys might have on the P4 committee. Otherwise, that's my report.
So the council committees are the body of the council. Everybody good with? Is there any objection to adding the crosswalks onto the committee agenda?
Nope.
Okay, so go ahead and we'll cue that up for you. Any other questions for Councilmember Rasmussen? Councilmember Scarborough.
You met with the ATV people, so that the results of that meeting is coming forward on the 13th of March.
We met as a committee. We didn't have anyone publicly speak or any public comment during or at the committee meeting. I know there was conversations afterwards. We primarily heard from the chief and answered some of the questions that we had, which comments are in the minutes. But that was the extent of it.
You expect public to speak at the 13th meeting on it?
Absolutely.
During public comment.
And we won't be voting on anything then, just gathering information?
Right. What we're looking for is direction from the council on whether or not to proceed with an ordinance and sidebars you're looking for, if that's the direction the council would like to proceed. Okay. Anything further for the P4 committee? All right. We'll just go ahead and go down the line then. Councilmember Kent.
Nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I have nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yes, actually, last Tuesday, I was not here. I was, obviously, but annual community event called Monroe Chili Bowl was happening, supporting Senior Center, Boys and Girls Club, our food bank, and our chamber. And I'm sorry that no one was able to make it, but I appreciate the work that everyone put in here. It was a lot of fun and raised funds for great resources in our community, including about 250 pounds of food for our food bank. Local businesses participated in essentially a chili cook-off for votes, and we had three celebrity judges, Executive Dave Summers, Councilmember Sam Lowe, and Assistant Fire Chief Jamie Silva going out and judging 17 different types of chili that night. So it was a lot of fun, and can't wait till next year. So just for the record, it is on January, the last Tuesday of January. So if we can hold off on council or scheduling the council meetings that night, that would be fantastic.
Okay, you're talking 2019.
Do you want us to vote on whether or not we should cancel that night now?
If we want to vote on the later ways on record, we can. Liz is saying no.
I will note that when we discuss our 2019 calendar. How about that?
That is all I have.
Okay, thank you very much. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I was just going to ask Councilman Rasmussen who won and why didn't you bring a big pot of it over here for our meeting?
I didn't bring any because it was all gone,
okay.
For one thing. The hottest went to Sahara Pizza, who put ghost peppers in their chili.
Oh.
That was rough.
Scary.
Most original went to Dutch and Mike Buse for peanut chili. Close second was one that was made with pheasant, which was fantastic. And then the meatiest was Kathleen Stacebaugh. And then the top vote getters, Gold Spoon went to Sam's Cats and Dogs.
What was in it? I don't want to know. No, that's okay.
No disclosure statement.
We'll just leave that one there. Silver Spoon went to PharmaSave. And Bronze Spoon went to our friends over at the JVM Community Garden.
Wait a minute. So let me get this straight. So one of the winners was a pet food distributor, and the other one was a pharmacy? Did they put, like, happy stuff in the chili? Did that help?
Should have been there to find out.
I guess so.
I had no idea.
A lot of smiley faces.
Councilmember Scarborough, you've decided not to weigh in on this?
No. You open the camera. Hey, that pheasant one sounds great, but I can't be in two places at once. So I think the pheasant stuff should come down here next year if we're going to have a meeting. If we're going to have a dinner and then go to a meeting, I think the pheasant chili ought to be judged by the city council.
So you're suggesting chili before a 3 or 4 hour meeting.
That's, just for the record, that's going to leave everyone very long-winded.
Somebody else give a report, please.
I'm done.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen, anything else?
Just four.
I'm sorry. Councilmember Scarborough, thank you for that. Anything else?
Nothing.
Okay.
I can't top that.
Okay. All right, let's get back to the floor. Mr. Worthen.
Nothing tonight. I think there's department reports, though.
Oh, yes. Let's do department reports. Mm. Thank you. So, PD, Deputy Chief Gennard.
Good evening. January, our community outreach team, we completed 4 chemical dependency assessments. We had 4 scheduled to enter detox, 3 entered and 1 completed. Inpatient treatment, 5 scheduled, 3 entered and left after we got them there. And one client was provided vouchers for 2 nights of motel stay prior to being put into the women's mission for bed space. Our proactive team was very, very busy during the month of January. They served 10 search warrants, 4 of them on stolen vehicles. 2 of those vehicles were occupied when we contacted them. They found various drugs and paraphernalia in all 10 of the vehicles, and a large amount of identity theft materials in one, and that matter still remains under investigation. They also took over the town and country burglary and are making very positive strides in solving that particular case. When they broke into town and country, they stole the safe. The safe was the only one in the building that was empty at the time. So, our canine was also busy. He had 9 alerts on different vehicles indicating that there were drugs inside of them. The major incidents for the month of January was we had a train pedestrian fatality collision. We also had a car pedestrian fatality collision. Now to our personnel. Officer Hannah Snavely graduated the Criminal Justice Academy on 1/18 and is currently on the field training portion of her training. We have recruit Bradley Pettit, who is in the academy right now and scheduled to graduate on February 13th. We have recruits Steinbeck. She's awaiting for an academy appointment. We don't know at this point exactly when that is. We believe it will be sometime in March. We have a recruit, Alex Thomas, who is scheduled to start the academy on January 16th. And we have a recruit, Noelle Richards, who was hired January 29th. She's scheduled to start the academy on February 12th and tentatively will graduate on March 13th. As far as crime in the city, we had 2 burglaries in the month, 8 vehicle prowls, 2 vehicle thefts, and 5 vehicle recoveries. So, are there any questions about any of the information that we've provided tonight?
Thank you, Deputy Chief Bernard. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you for your report. Just curious, it seems like in the past when we've brought on new officers, they've been brought before council, kind of introduced. It seems like it's been a while for that. Will these people be coming to council anytime soon? Or so I thought you could look into.
Yeah, we could certainly look into that. If that's something the council wishes, we'll certainly do that. In the last several years, the only time that they've been brought before council is when they graduated the academy and been commissioned, but we can certainly introduce them a lot earlier than that. So.
Sure. Just be great to see a face. That's all. Okay.
Is it acceptable to the council to have them come in when they're sworn in and when they finish their training?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when they finish their training, as they
I don't think they need to be put on the spot before they're.
What's that?
I say I don't think they need to be put on the spot before they're through the academy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chief. Anything further, council?
Thank you again.
The next report that we have from the staff is a public works update from Mr. Feilberg. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. We have the usual project updates. So if there's any questions on those, I'd be happy to answer them. And then a couple things to bring your attention to. One is the almost at the very bottom of the packet in your packets is the wastewater treatment plant report about the cast iron pipe that was discovered in the pumping well that had split. It was an abandoned pipe that's not used anymore. So it took a while to figure out that it was broken because stuff, euphemistically put, was not spewing all over everywhere, but it does present a hazard that it can fall on somebody when they're down there. It's about 30 feet up in the air, and so that is being removed right now. And then the other one is the operational statistics. Since we've moved up a week, we don't have time to get the data for the previous month, so everything will be delayed a month. So who knows, it ends in December, we don't have the January months. Okay. That's all.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Feilberg?
Thank you. Could you, we might have covered this before, but could you remind us what's going in there on Blueberry next to the apartments being constructed?
The apartments? What are we doing?
What building is being built right
there? The apartments.
More of the morning around apartments?
No, different outfit, but similar thing.
Okay.
Yeah, there's...
Mr. Swanson, can you give an update on the apartments that are being built near Blueberry, off of Blueberry?
The Burdett apartments. How many now and how many eventually?
Right now they have the ones that are in construction. I believe the second unit has a foundation permit for it, and I'm confusing it because we have another application in on the same area for more apartments. I have to get back to you on the full yield.
So we'll get an email off to council in the next day or two with a little bit more information about those applications there. Okay, thank you. Anything further, Councilmember Hanford?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I do. Question?
Yes, Councilmember Scarborough.
Maybe it's the first time I've seen the Turney Way street improvements. What are we doing there?
That is behind the old Albertsons,
mm-hmm.
And we're, that's not a public street at the moment.
Right.
And our overall plan is to have that a public street. So first thing we have to do is acquire the right of way for it, And then the ultimate plan is to eventually make it look like Kearney between Chain Lake Road and Woods Creek Road.
Okay.
Yep.
And is there, in that plan, is there a signal at the Woods, at that road and
Pullman? Yes. Yeah.
And we're still trying to acquire a deal with the people that own Albertsons to sell us that property.
Right. And there's three property owners, I think, is what it is. And we just hired a right-of-way agent. Actually, we just selected a right-of-way agent that will be coming to the council soon for approval to assist us with that process.
Okay. Thank you. And congratulations on finally getting the railroad crossing.
Thank you. We've been talking
about 2 years, and it took about 2 weeks to do.
Yeah.
It's
a many thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Cutler. All right, let's go ahead and go through the department individual reports. Mr. Worthen.
Nothing, thank you.
Thanks for reminding me about the individual department reports. Deputy Chief, anything further? Okay, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. The only thing I have to report is that we held an open house regarding the Sky River Playground Park project. That was last week. It was lightly attended, but we did have children and parents. They had the opportunity to vote. There were different accessibility ideas. This is really to get ideas and feedback from the community. Freestanding units, beams, that sort of thing. So we'll take back that information, and so then the folks are going to be working on design. They'll come back to staff, and our park board will take a look, see at it, and make a recommendation, and we'll come back to the council.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Farrell? All right. Let's go on to Mr. Swanson. Mr. Swanson.
Nothing really new to report. I appreciated my time down Olympia. First time down, so it was a good experience. And learned quite a bit.
Cool. Thank you. Ms. Hazard.
So I don't know if any of you have seen in the news that the U.S. State Department has finally allowed a price adjustment on passport agent processing fees. So effective April 2nd, those fees are going to go up from $25 to $35. We will be presenting, since we do adopt that in our fee resolution, we're going to be bringing before council here before April 2nd an adjustment to that so that we're in compliance with what the State Department has all their processors charge. And as a result of that, though, we expect and we have been seeing an increase in number of passport applications coming in through the door. We are going to set up another passport day like we tried last year, this time knowing that we're not in June and we're not going to be competing with budget trust. As kind of an emphasis to help our citizens be able to come in and get passports on a Saturday here. So as soon as we have that date, we'll let you know.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Hassert? Thank you. Mr. Feilberg, anything further?
Nothing further than
all right. Come on up here. I said we will come on up
here.
Sorry.
I wasn't talking
to come on up here. I mean, you can, but you don't need to.
There's an empty chair.
Could you stand by the podium? Ms. Knight.
Just a reminder that we have our next Economic Development Advisory Board meeting on Thursday, and we're going to have Ms. Hassert here for that meeting to review funding alternatives for economic development. So our committee has some ideas about fiscal restrictions on funding before they get started on prioritizing projects. We have a meeting set up, Mr. Farrell and I do, with Mr. Tom Tigan of Snohomish County with the East County Parks and Rec District members, commission members, on Thursday as well. So that'll be on Thursday evening. Just want to let you know that our bill, House Bill 2829, is moved out of committee and onto the House floor. So we're just waiting to hear if there's any more activity going on with that particular bill. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Knight? All right, I'll go ahead and report out. So we thank you, Mr. Swanson, for reminding me about Olympia. It has been a couple weeks. We had a group of us go down to Olympia, consisting of Councilmember Scarborough, Councilmember Cutaback, Ms. Knight, myself, and Mr. Swanson. On the morning that we had it out, I gave testimony in front of one of the House committees on local government, I believe, regarding HB 2829. This is the district, the Parks District, related bill where we would be able to change the boundary with the vote of the people. I did receive an inquiry from the Parks District from a, I think, an employee or somebody associated with the Parks District who also lives here in Monroe, asking why we would want to de-annex. I expressed that while de-annexation would be something that could happen, again, with the vote of the people, we're also talking about the flexibility of modifying boundaries. The Parks District that we have today mirrors the Monroe School District boundary. And if all of you will remember, up where I live, off of Roosevelt, we have homes that are in the city limits, but that are in the Snohomish School District. So they would be out of the district boundaries for our park district. What we're looking for is just the ability to make changes according to the changes in population, the changes in needs, and so on and so forth. And one of the things that we are doing, as Ms. Knight pointed out, is we will be meeting with the county and other potential partners about different projects that we could consider doing and presenting to the public as options to provide additional funding to do things like connecting Snohomish to Monroe, doing improvements at the fairgrounds, doing improvements to our own park system here, and also out at Malpe, since that's where the park district goes today. So those are some of the reasons why I spoke, was just, hey, you know, you can create a district, but you can't modify it. We'd like to be able to modify it, again, with the vote of the people. The other thing that I spoke on while I was there was also before the local government committee. I did not plan on speaking about this, but it's a subject that that is really important to me when it comes to land use and being a city representative, and that is the issue of annexations. Down in the Battleground area, I think it was Battleground, there was an issue where a House representative, one of the representatives, brought forward a change to the annexation law that would make it harder for cities to annex urban growth area. And as you all are aware, under the Growth Management Act, it is the intent of that act that we, the city, annex the areas within our urban growth area. But we've tried to annex Robin Hood twice, or portions of Robin Hood twice, I think, in the last now 6 to 8 years or so. Both times it failed by a vote of the people. Well, what if we want to grow a different direction? The county won't let us do that without us first annexing our urban growth area. And in the meantime, our urban growth areas continue to get impacted with additional higher density development, and yet they want us to annex these areas. When growth occurs in those areas, there are real estate excise taxes that are received by the local jurisdiction. Here it would be the county. There is construction sales tax that's received, again, by the county as they urbanize those areas. But then they don't have the same way to be able to deliver services, including law enforcement services, park services. And in fact, our PD will often be the first group to show up on scene when there's an issue in our urban growth area before a deputy can show up, because they have such a larger area to cover. So one of the things that I expressed was, we don't need to be making things more difficult for cities to annex areas. We actually need to be going the opposite direction, making it easier for cities to annex areas, or at least applying the same standard to becoming an urban growth area. People have to vote to become part of a city, but they don't have to vote to become an urban growth area. And again, it's when that urban growth occurs that makes it more challenging for us to annex areas. We also met while we were down there, Senator Wagner and also Representative Eslick. They're both new, having replaced Representative Koster and Senator Pearson. Both of them come from cities, so Senator Wagner and also Representative Eslick had both served as mayor, one in Cedro Woolley, and then the other, Representative Eslick from Sultan. It was nice being able to talk to them about city issues and have them understand firsthand the issues that we face as a city. We had great conversations with them, and also Representative Christensen. And we also hosted about 20, 21 people or so for dinner. I believe the entire Sultan City Council was there. We also had Senator Wagner there and Representative Eslick there, and a couple other cities represented as well from the 39th Legislative District. So it was nice, all of us being able to get together and just talk, you know, as regular people, and also to talk about some of the things that we were down lobbying for.
Assistant General
Mr. Habib.
Right. Lieutenant Governor Habib was there as well, and he certainly got a picture with the group while I was talking with his friend that he was at the table with. So, he came over and took a picture with us, which was cool too. Yep. Also, in the last couple of weeks, there was a Jamie Bendel run. We had a really good turnout for that, and that was a really successful event. And then I attended the community transit meeting last Thursday. I have been appointed as the Mid-City Alternate 1 for the Community Transit Board, so I'll be attending that board meeting, and they received a presentation on and discussed wireless communications for the buses and also decommissioning the existing radio system in the coaches. Apparently buses are called coaches, and putting in the voice over internet protocol. There's a $13 million budget for it, and they've got two vendors that they're working with to coordinate with and with one another, and then to demonstrate functionality, the ability for the two systems to work in October before actually doing the work. They also talked about transit advertising, sales program, and they're not going to be covering the windows anymore with advertising. And then they talked about construction management for the Swift Green Line. So those were just a couple of high points from that. And then I attended the Everett Community College East County Campus Advisory Board meeting last week. I have a series of notes on that, but the thing that I appreciated most about this meeting, I didn't attend the meeting last year and probably half of the year before. This meeting was done in a very pragmatic way. They don't have subcommittees as they used to, and it was really helpful hearing about a lot of the outreach that they're going to be doing here in our community and in our valley to bring people to Everett Community College as an option for higher education. So that's the extent of some of the highlights from the last 2 weeks to share with you. If you don't have any questions about that, one of the things that I have been asked to ask you about is we had left over on the agenda from last week a discussion on the six-year plan. There was a draft plan that was provided to you, and wanted to see what your thoughts were about having a Thursday evening meeting for a Saturday meeting to go over the six-year draft plan. This is the plan that we will be using after council reviews it and gives direction on it to help with funding both for 2019 and also in future years. So what are your thoughts on a Thursday evening meeting or a Saturday morning meeting? Okay, note Thursday.
Question. Should that be something we do after we've talked, had our finance meeting next week?
No, the issues are, while they are related from a funding perspective for the six-year, for a six-year plan, what we're talking about here is vision-oriented things.
Okay.
We gave the presentation on potential changes to funding, if that's council's interest, as sort of a basis of, of different funding strategies that are used by other cities. The next thing then is to talk about the policies and then loop back around to how to fund those priorities that council might want to fund. So I think it's important that we move on to the priorities while we continue the conversation in parallel with the committee on the finances.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm understanding that Thursday doesn't work for at least one council member.
Saturday doesn't work for me at all. Yeah.
Okay.
Either one works for me.
Either one works for you? All right. Is there a day of the week other than Tuesday that works for council members in general to have a meeting? Okay, so I'm seeing a preference just to keep it on a Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will touch base with staff and see what other options we have. Maybe we just go ahead and cancel other items that would be on a study session and focus on the six-year plan on a Tuesday night then. Is that okay?
That's the council's preference.
Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and go over the extended agenda. So the agenda for next week.
Certainly. So next week is a study session, and we will be talking about the uniform development regulation. So that's an update from Mr. Swanson and the Planning Commission. So your Planning Commission will be here for a joint session on those code updates. We're also going to be talking about and continuing the conversation around construction, hours and noise, compression breaks, and the remainder of those street items that we had previously started to talk with Mr. Feilberg about. And then finally, the proposed amendments to council rules. So it'll set in place then your decision making around your regular versus your study session items. And we can discuss which items you'd like to include on the study session agenda.
Any questions for Ms. Knight, Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. What council rules? I'm just curious.
Your council rules of procedure?
Right.
So we have been talking about changing more formally to regular meetings and study sessions.
Oh, right. Okay.
Any other questions for Ms. Knight? All right. Let's go over anything on the extended agenda. What we will do is we will look over the extended agenda and see how we can fit in the six-year discussion. Because that could take some time, I'm going to recommend that we try to start, as we did last week, at about a 5:30 start time with a dinner at 5.
Yeah. I'm sorry, wait.
Mm-hmm. We will, we're going
to be determined.
To be determined, yeah. And it is important that we get this done sooner than later. As I've expressed in the past, there are times where the executive branch of government might just go ahead and drop a budget for you on October 1st. My preference is to have the conversation in the early part of the year so that we can bring forward a budget that more accurately reflects what it is council's looking for. And also having the review of the six-year plan will help us build that model we were discussing last week. All right. Councilmember Kemp, did you have anything else?
I did.
Okay.
Cub Scouts next week.
Yep, got them on the agenda. Yes.
Police tour.
Boy Scout troop. And you said police tour, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you aware? The beds were open on next Tuesday. So.
Deputy Chief, are you aware of providing a tour on Tuesday night?
We are.
Okay. And do you have the Cub Scout group troop number?
Of course not.
Pack number? Okay. So we'll change the agenda to reflect Cub Scout pack.
Right.
And Ms. Knight will reach out to you, or somebody will reach out to you for a PAC number, if that's okay, or you can send an email.
I should have it.
Okay, cool. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Anything further?
Do you have anything further to say?
All right. There is no other business this evening. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah, a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We're adjourned.
Good to see you in the game tonight.